This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
And Jordana White joins us again from Wildlife Hospital Dunedin to put the focus on a special creature. Special as always, Jordana, but even more so this time around. You've been on adventures. In a nutshell, what have you been up to?
I have spent my second summer in a row on New Zealand's sub-Antarctic islands in the Auckland Island Group doing New Zealand sea lion fieldwork.
Now, that's not the Christmas holiday that everybody has.
No, it's not, but it's probably my dream Christmas holiday. It's fantastic. It's not exactly a tropical island, to be honest, but it's a privilege to be able to go to the sub-Antarctic islands, and it's a privilege to get to work with these creatures. And I know that this is supposed to be about featuring Wildlife Hospital guests, but you're letting me cheat a little bit because we're going to talk about one of my favorite creatures from the Auckland Islands.
I imagine you saw all sorts of wonderful creatures there. Before we reveal what today's creature on our creature feature will be, how do these opportunities come around for you for a start, and why do you do them?
Yeah, so my background before I started working at the hospital and getting the hospital started is I had a job that was not related to conservation, but I was doing heaps of conservation volunteering. So lots of opportunities in Dunedin. We're very lucky that way that we can volunteer and get involved in conservation. So I was doing mostly hoiho or yellow-eyed penguin and sea lion volunteering. And got a lot of experience here on the mainland, and through that experience was asked to be on the team last summer, which was involving both hoiho and sea lion fieldwork. And then from that, was asked to be back on the team again this summer. So it's a Department of Conservation program funded by the Conservation Services Program. So that's a piece of work that happens year on. So that's how I got that opportunity. So it's an absolute privilege. It's a little bit outside my role, but of course, you can imagine as an employer, the Wildlife Hospital would be quite amenable to allowing me to go and have that experience, which is excellent.
Fantastic. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about today's special creature.
So today we're going to be talking, I think it's amazing, first of all, this is Valentine's Day, because this animal might be my one true love. Don't tell my partner. he knows. This is a creature that is simply known to the world as Boris, but actually is officially known as a southern elephant seal. Boris is, of course, the nickname that we gave him. And have you ever seen a southern elephant seal?
No, I have not.
Okay, so they do, and this is interesting because they do. Although we've certainly never had one in hospital, they do come up to Dunedin sometimes. So I would say probably at least once a year you might encounter one. It's not common, but they do come up occasionally, and certainly. We would try to help one if it came up in Dunedin and needed a bit of help. But you'll soon understand why that would be very difficult for us to have it in hospital. They are the largest seal in the world. So they are absolutely massive when they become adults. So Boris, the one that we're talking about, is still considered a sub-adult male. And this season, we think he weighed in at about 1,500 kilos.
All right, put that in some context for us relative to what other creatures we might see of a similar type.
Sure. So in Otapoti, we're lucky to see New Zealand sea lions quite often. And if you think about the biggest male sea lion that you have ever seen on any beach here in Dunedin or Otago.
We've seen some big ones.
Big ones with the big mane, the full and their full majesty as adult males. Those weigh about 450 kg.
Wow.
So times three, and you've got Boris, and Boris is still nowhere near full grown. So 1,500 kg, so about three times the size of the biggest sea lion you've ever seen, but they get it to be 3,700 kg.
That's incredible.
To me, it's unthinkable. I think it's now a dream for me to see a full-grown male because I just can't imagine a creature of that size. And they do look like a seal. I mean, they look like a seal basically at that stage. They have much shorter fore flippers or front flippers in relation to their body size that sea lions do, for example. And you can imagine if it's 1,500 to 3,700 kg, the flippers couldn't be quite as big as that. But the main feature of a male elephant seal is its inflatable proboscis, which is also a really cool name for a band. If anyone's looking for one, I would go see that gig. But they have, so it looks sort of like a trunk, which is where they get the name elephant seal. So they have this really weird schnoz that they actually can inflate and use to make crazy, crazy sounds. And part of the reason they make the sounds is the males have battles, like sound battles. And they're using their noses to make these crazy vocalizations to intimidate other males and to show females that they're the biggest and the strongest. And therefore, they should be, you know, choose them essentially to breed with. So they're just incredible. So now Boris, I'll tell you a bit about, he does not have yet the inflatable proboscis, but he's getting there. So as I mentioned, this was my second season in the Auckland Islands. So last season, when we turned up in December on the island on Enderby, Boris, the elephant seal, was already there. So normally they don't live on Enderby Island, but he had come ashore to molt. So once a year, elephant seals have to molt their old fur, essentially. And when they do that, they stay on land. So I know on the Creature Feature in the past, we've talked about penguins having to come ashore to molt, and they have to stay in one place for quite a while to get new feathers. It's the same for elephant seals. It's just not feathers. Yep. So he ended up staying with us on Enderby the whole summer. He was there the whole season, and we got to really observe him and watch him move in and around the colony, which is a sea lion colony, not an elephant seal colony.
Right. And so I imagine that the local guys are going to go, hey, who's this new dude? He looks a bit odd. What's he doing here? Please go away.
Yeah, they do try the bit. So this is breeding season for sea lions. That's why I'm there. And the males are quite hopped up on hormones. They're trying to show off how big and strong they are. They want to fight for females and hold territory with the females and hold harems. And so, yeah, they do seem to see Boris as a threat. They think, oh, he's just another big male, but I'm going to show him who's boss. I'm going to come in here and tell him to clear out. And that doesn't go so well usually for the sea lions, because Boris is so much bigger than them. And they have to do this incredible thing where they're quite long. So the adult males get to be up to almost 6 meters in length. Now Boris is probably about half that in length, but they'll rear up. So they kind of rock up onto the back part of their bodies, and they're quite tall. Imagine they use their full height and then come slamming down on their victim.
I've been fortunate enough to see Boris doing exactly that, a video that Jordana's shown me here, and incredibly intimidating. And the dude he was taking on very quickly backed off.
Yes, and I think he probably needed some chiropractics after that incident, mm-hmm. because he took the full force of Boris's weight onto his neck and chest, and then shuffled right off, which was very intelligent of him. But most of the time of crossbow season, so Boris returned again this season, he sort of moves in and amongst the colony. For the most part, they'll leave him alone. Thankfully, not too many of them challenge him, because I think that's just unfortunate for the sea lions. But yeah, he'll be in the colony, or he'll be up, you know, resting up on the grass above the colony, the beach there. And generally, you know, no conflict other than a few challenges. But you can hear that inflatable proboscis. So between last year and this year, when he's been maturing, obviously, for 12 months, his nose has gotten bigger, and it's moving towards getting that sort of trunk. But the vocalizations are quite incredible. You could hear him flapping his nose and making these strange noises, and it just would reverberate across the entire bay. You could hear it from anywhere in the bay. Sometimes you'd be lying in your bunk at night, and you could hear him with his nose flapping all the way down the end of the beach. So it was really quite something. And if you think about, now that's one. So he was the only one that was there. He's, for whatever reason, he's deemed Enderby worthy of his molt. And he shows up there. But you can imagine, well, I can't actually quite imagine what it would be like in a rookery where you have hundreds of these.
And do we have hundreds of them? What's the populations like?
Right. So great question. So they are all across the sort of southern subantarctic, or the subantarctic region. So all like Falkland Islands and South Georgia and all of those kinds of places, as well as the New Zealand subantarctic islands. But they don't breed on Enderby. They do breed on Macquarie Island, which is an Australian subantarctic. And there is a small little breeding activity happening on Campbell Island, which is a New Zealand subantarctic island. But we had tiny, tiny populations for us here in New Zealand. But nobody really knows exactly how many there are. But the last estimate was around 600,000 southern elephant seals. But that was in 1990. So it's hard to know exactly how many there are. The population is declining, but there are two possible reasons for that. One is there could be, you know, the fish stocks could be depleting, and that could be leading to a decline. Or there's a possibility that after sealing was made illegal, that they had this huge boost in population, and that was sort of an unnatural boost, and now it's flattening out. So it might be a natural kind of returning to sort of stasis for where that species should be. So nobody quite knows. But I want to just mention this because the sealing, obviously they were hunted for oil. And when would you guess the last elephant seal was legally slaughtered for its oil?
I don't know. I want to say 1950s or something like that.
1965.
Right.
Seems too recent to me.
It does.
That feels very strange. So I'm glad that's over because the creatures are magnificent. I can't imagine. That commercial activity is just, a bit shocking to me. They're just incredible. They're deep sea fishers, these elephant seals. So they dive up to 800 meters, but their younger seals can go as far as 1500 meters deep, which is incredible. But their dives last up to 27 minutes. Can you imagine that? I mean, I guess they do have a huge inflatable proboscis. They can probably hold their breath pretty well. I don't know.
We've got some sound now, and this is going to give us an example of a fully grown adult with his proboscis.
Yeah, that's
inflated.
Right. Yeah, this is just a taster. I just want to say this is not Boris, so it's not as magnificent as I would have liked. But yeah, it's a good example.
See if this works for us. Now, we're probably not getting a good idea of the volume there, right?
That's correct, yeah. And if you're there in person, it has a sort of, like you can kind of feel it in your chest, actually. It really reverberates. It's quite deep. And then imagine that bouncing all around across a bay. It's just really something.
Well, as you say, we sometimes get an opportunity to see these visitors.
That's right, yep. So we had one turn up, I think it was not last season, but the season before in the summer at Waldronville. There was an elephant seal that turned up there. Sometimes they do come ashore to molt in Otago and on the coastline. And the main thing that people need to do is just give it space. They are big creatures. They tend to be the younger ones that turn up here, but they're still huge. So you definitely want to keep your distance, but they just need to be respected and be left alone, particularly with dogs. So keep an eye on your dogs, put them on a lead if there is any kind of seal or sea lion around. They'll leave you alone if you leave them alone.
Wonderful experience for you. I can tell you're still fizzing.
Love it.
Do you hope to get back again next year?
I would love to. It would be an honor. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, we might talk about some of the other creatures you saw along the way, but of course we've got the business of the Dunedin Wildlife Hospital, and I guess you've been catching up since you got back. How have things been over the summer?
Yeah, surprisingly busy. Normally over the Christmas period, we do have a little bit of a sort of a lull. That didn't happen this year. Everything's been quite busy all the way through. And just in the last week, we've had now what we would expect to happen in late summer, which is that we're getting an influx of injured hoiho. So there's some kind of predator interaction happening out at sea that penguins are coming up with some injuries. So expect our sort of second wave of penguins, and that's coming in. We've had a few really cool creatures coming over this summer, and I look forward to telling you about those in the next couple of months.
And we look forward to hearing about it too, Jordana. Thanks for joining us. Nice to have you back here in North Port Dunedin.
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz. Or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.